You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Miki Addison. Miki, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Miki, I've been very intrigued by this boycott Target story, and I'm sure millions of people, really, not just in the United States, but around the world have been. I know they have. And I want to get into that in great detail in a moment. But before we do, for the benefit of the listeners, can you give them a little background about who you are and how you're affiliated with the American Family Association, which, of course, was the organization that organized this boycott of Target?
Sure. I am a spokesperson for the American Family Association, and I also am the director of communications for one of the divisions of the American Family Association called Urban Family Talk, or Urban Family Communications. And so I've been with the American Family Association for 8 years now, but I always like to make sure that people understand that I'm a wife and I'm a mother of 4 children and 1 on the way, and very concerned about the direction that I see our culture going. And so it's just a great fit to be able to do something that I'm passionate about under the umbrella of an organization that's been on the front line for the family for over 35 years.
Wow. Tell the listeners a little bit about the AFA, if you could.
So our founder is Don Wildman, and our founder believed that 38 years ago, you could see the writing on the wall for the church or for Christians in this country to sort of be at war with the culture. Back then, it was sort of an emerging buzz phrase, the culture war, but we have certainly seen that war play out, where now what we're talking about is freedom to worship versus the free exercise of religion, meaning that you can take your beliefs out with you into the public square. We have continued to see media and different forms of media sort of eroding the family and eroding what historically has been so incredible about America. We've had this moral compass where we have a true north. And so Don Wildman saw that happening and thought, you know, we have got to encourage one another, and we have got to sort of put together a grassroots effort to stem the tide. And oh my goodness, what a ride it has been to see what's happening in culture and to see even some of the things that Don Wildman saw on the horizon, to see those things and much more as we look back today.
And let's talk about the Target boycott. And of course, in the interests of fair disclosure, I must say that I signed on to the boycott. I don't remember how I heard about it. I might have gotten an email. I might have seen it in the news, but I immediately did it. We actually have a Target red card. Now, we don't use it much. We don't have a Target near us, and we're not great Target people anyway. Now I'm really not. But after I heard about this, it really struck a chord with me. And I said, that's it. I'm done with Target. I'm at the point where I'd like to just cut the card up and mail it back to them and let them know what's going on. But why don't you, for the benefit of the listeners, let them know how this started first. What precipitated it, the background of this boycott? First, if you could explain what it actually entails and go to the genesis of it, how it started.
Sure. I think it's important for listeners to understand that we are talking about one company who chose to make a statement, not necessarily to aid a segment of the population that is being overlooked or abused as they would like to present it, but they chose to make an ideological statement, and that statement came on the heels of what we saw happening in North Carolina with House Bill 2, which was a response to Charlotte, North Carolina's move to normalize the use of a bathroom facility based on how you identify that day. Now, to make that statement more clear, a man does not need to look like a woman, nor does he need to dress, sound, or talk like a woman. He just needs to assert that he is in fact a woman, and he would have access to a woman's public facility. That is what happened in Charlotte. Well, you saw in North Carolina, House Bill 2 said, no, this is not going to happen in public facilities. Men will use men's facilities and women will use women's facilities. Well, shortly after that, you saw Target publicizing a policy that said their employees and those who shop at Target would be able to use the dressing room and or restroom consistent with their identification. So however you identify on that particular day, without regard to how you look, without regard to how you sound, you can use the restroom that you choose. And so what we saw is sort of this ridiculous response to something that was not a problem. If we can just really talk about this, we have 0.3% of the population identifying as transgender. And to kind of paint a picture by comparison, you have more registered sex offenders than you do those who identify as transgender in this country. And so what Target is saying is that we, in essence, want to esteem 0.3% of the population over and above the rest of the population and sort of trying to answer a problem that was not. They're not people who are out here saying, we feel overlooked because as a man, I don't have access to a woman's dressing room or bathroom. And again, Dave, if I could just point out, you know, it's so important for people to understand how outrageous this is. We are talking about the most vulnerable place you will be publicly. That is changing your clothes in the fitting room or using the restroom. Both of these involve disrobing. Both of these involve a level of vulnerability that nobody wants to be in with a member of the opposite sex, who, by the way, is also a stranger.
Absolutely. Of course, it's common sense. I'm not a religious man. I'm not a Christian. I did go to Baptist church for 12 years of my life, but not anymore. That was a long time ago. But if this means here that I myself personally would want to identify with Christians, and absolutely I would. When did this start, this date of the boycott? Do you remember the exact date?
AFA launched the boycott target pledge on April 21st. And since then, over 1.2 million people have signed the petition, signed the pledge to boycott Target. Dave, can I say something before we kind of get into the nuts and bolts of it? I want to go back to your comment. I don't want people to miss it because you are not alone in the sentiment that you just expressed. There are an awful lot of people who have signed this pledge who said, you know what, I'm not religious, but this is ridiculous. This is absolutely outrageous. And I think it points to a sense of morality and a sense of what is right and what is wrong. And you don't have to be religious to understand how deviant this type of agenda is and how harmful. A while back we were saying potentially harmful, but now we know it is harmful and it is destructive to the most vulnerable among us. And so I just want to say that you're not alone in that sentiment. There are others who have expressed to us at the American Family Association that we are not religious, but we believe that this has gone so far off the rails that something has to be done.
Absolutely. This policy was actually around a while before they made the announcement and triggered this boycott and some of these other outlets, which I personally don't want to have anything to do with anymore because it's disgusting. I have children and I don't want them in the restroom with these freaks who decide one day that, you know, forget about what's on my birth certificate. Like you said, I feel like a man or I feel like a woman. I mean, come on, how far is it going to go? Were you there when somebody made the decision, when somebody pulled the trigger and said, let's get this boycott rolling? How did that happen?
Well, so here's what happened. So I host a morning radio show, 6 to 9 a.m., and we were the first show to cover the news that this was Target's new policy. Actually, not their new policy, but they were publicizing their policy, and I'm glad that you point that out. So basically what you have is people who go on vacation all the time, now all of a sudden they are announcing when and for how long and the fact that there's a key under the mat. And so now what Target essentially did was say that you don't have to be a woman to go into this facility. You just have to identify as one. And just to give a little bit of sort of the inner workings of what we do here at the American Family Association, our first step is usually to reach out to the company to say, do you really want to do this? Is this really the direction that you want to go? Well, when there's no response there or we are ignored, then we turn to our supporters. We turn to people who have been with us for a long time and have seen that we're not flippant when we call for a boycott or we call for action in the culture to stand with us. And so then that's how that decision is made, always with the hope not to try to punish a company, but to try to awaken that company to common sense, to say, do you really want to take this position when all someone wants to do is go get a pair of running pants? Like, do you really want to get involved in the far reaches of this ideology when people just want you to sell bags of salad? And so when we don't get a response from the company, then we go a step further and we invite people to stand with us as we take the first step. We are the organization, the members and the employees of the American Family Association. We're taking the first step and saying, you know what? My dollars are not going to go towards funding the danger that is allowing men to enter into a woman's dressing facility or a restroom facility. And then we invite other people to stand with us as we do that. And so that's kind of how that happens, always with the objective and the goal in mind that the company will come to its senses as it sees the public responding negatively to these policies and that they would run it back. And as we know to date, that has not happened with Target. In fact, Target has doubled down. Target has compared this, and it's important that your listeners understand I am a Black American. I'm a Black woman. Target has compared this policy and the pushback that they've received to the first time they featured Blacks in their advertisements, something I find incredibly disgusting and incredibly reprehensible. So they are are not moving on this, even after we deliver to them 1 million signatures of people saying they're not going to shop at Target. That number has since grown. We intend to go back to Target when we hit 2 million. So hopefully people will continue to listen and continue to see the outrage, that it is not contrived, it's not drummed up. This is a genuine outrage, and hopes that Target will say, you know what? This is not only a poor business practice, but this is a poor practice when we talk about how this affects our patrons, how this affects people who shop at our stores.
And I was going to bring that up. I'm glad you mentioned it, is that the fella that you mentioned before who founded the AFA, he actually went to Target. He was granted an audience, not with, of course, the chairman and CEO, but some other executives on the team. And they said, thank you very much for 1 million signatures who are opposed to our policy, but we're not going to do anything. We really don't care. So that's basically their attitude, is that they don't care that 1 million, which is a huge number, it might be unprecedented in literally the speed with which it grew. They just blew it off. Is that right?
Yeah. Tim Wildman, who is the son of our founder, who is now at the helm as president of AFA, actually went to Target headquarters in Minnesota and did not meet with Brian Cornell, but met with senior management, who said, we're going to continue to embrace our belief in diversity and inclusion. And that's the umbrella that they have placed over this policy that allows a man who looks like a man, acts like a man, talks like a man, to say he's a woman and have access to bathrooms and changing facilities inside their store. They see this as inclusion and diversity. So yeah, they doubled down on that. Brian Cornell, who is CEO of Target, is the one who made the comparison of the outrage at this policy being the same outrage that was experienced when they featured black people their advertisements.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
That makes sense. Obviously, even to somebody who doesn't pay much attention to these issues, they have to know that these elites, and this fella who you mentioned, the CEO of Target, Brian C. Cornell, 57-year-old chairman and chief executive officer with a pay of almost $4 million. These elites are obviously out of touch with the rest of us. And I was going to ask you this later on in the interview, but I'll ask you now, Miki, who is influencing people like this guy, Cornell, and all these other organizations? Who is motivating them? Who's instigating this? Because this isn't normal. I mean, you don't wake up one day and go, you know what, I think I'm going to side with, what was it, 0.3% of the population who they're unsure about what sex they are and they want to. Who's doing it? Do you have an idea? Because you and the organization obviously have studied this in great detail, probably more than anyone else. Is there one group, one easily identifiable group of people that you can say, yeah, these are the people who are responsible for it?
Well, I think it's a collection of people. What a great question, though. And I think that that's what the majority of Americans are wondering. Like, who's pushing this? Where do these policies come from? What's the genesis of this sort of action by a corporation that puts its investors at risk, that puts its stakeholders at risk, its shareholders? I think that is the question that we need to be asking. But I think it's a collection of people. I'll give you my opinion, as I've been doing here the entire time. I believe that what we have seen happen in this country has been a radical moving away from any moral absolutes, that there aren't any rights or wrongs anymore in this country. And I believe that really, if you could go to the top guy here, if we could talk about President Obama, I think that his shift, and even those within the homosexual movement and those who would identify as transgender, this entire movement under the umbrella of LGBTQ, would say that having President Obama as their champion has been a game changer. It has been President Obama's shift on what is defined as marriage in this country. It has been President Obama's shift on how people should be able to identify and quote unquote whether or not those are civil rights. I think that has led to what we see happening at the corporate level. Let's make no mistake about it. While we do have decisions being made in the boardroom, I think really these decisions are being made in restaurants. They're being made around dinner tables where you have people who want to be a part of the movers and shakers and who understand that it might be social suicide to come out with a moral absolute or a position that reflects any absolutes in culture. And whether that's a fear of being accused of being a bigot or a racist, or that is the fear of simply being accused of being religious, which is dangerous today in this country, you see a lot of people sort of following the Pied Piper over the cliff. And I believe that it's not only happening happening at the political level, but I think it's happening, and this may be equally dangerous, it's happening at the social level. It's the need to be accepted. And so how do you say that a person doesn't have to give any respect or any regard to their biological gender without appearing to be a racist? Well, you allow people to make that comparison and you don't push back on it, and then it just becomes normal. And so now you have people like Brian Carnell and the like who are taking these positions because they don't want to be ostracized, even at the peril and potential destruction of their company. I mean, if you look at the way Target stock has fallen since we launched this boycott, and Brian Carnell is saying that it's based on weather patterns. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Unfortunately, I know a little bit about the stock market, and I say unfortunately because it's disgusting, but when stocks go up and down, it has very little to do with what's happening, the reality. I do see the big drop. What was the date you said, Miki? April when?
April 21st.
Yes, so it was at over $80, and it dropped just a couple of days to 67. It's back up to 69 right now, I think, but that doesn't mean much. Like I said, the people who manipulate the stock market will actually lift the stock up just to spite you and your movement. I can guarantee, no, I can guarantee you that. No doubt.
Wow.
Over the long term, I'm sure this is going to hurt them because we as a family don't spend much at Target. We never did, not for any other reason than it's just not one of our favorite stores. But I will never, ever shop at Target again. And I've never done this before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure, like you said, there's a lot of people out there who are feeling the same way I am, because I didn't even have to think about it. When I saw that boycott, I right away do it, just like you do and everybody else who's listening to this. We see a bunch of stuff on the internet, do this, do that.
Mm-hmm.
But literally,
mm-hmm,
I jumped at that because it's disgusting. We have a 9-year-old guy. I can't imagine what would happen if some freak, well, we're not going to let him go to the bathroom alone, but you know, if I'm standing outside the door and I see some freak walking in there. I mean,
right,
who's dressed like a freak, who you could tell isn't quote-unquote normal. I mean, I don't,
mm-hmm,
know what I'd do. And I don't know how these companies can do this. What I was alluding to, Miki, was, you know, like, for example, certain groups always have something to say about issues like this, whether it's the ACLU or the ABL or any of these. Have you identified any groups that might be opposing what you are trying to do and supporting what these freaks are trying to do? And by freaks, I mean not just the people, but the companies.
Yeah, I think that among the ones that you listed, I would add to that list the Human Rights Campaign. I think that, if I'm not overstating this, the largest pro-homosexual transgender champion in this country, certainly, possibly in the world, I think that there are deep pockets associated with this. I think that if you look at Hollywood and you look at some of the major players in Hollywood, there's an incredible amount of groupthink happening. It's sort of like nobody wants to say that the emperor doesn't have on any clothes, because how dare you, you uncouth American, point out the fact that he's walking around naked when he's paid huge expense for this. I think that's where we are now with the way we communicate in the public square. We have rejected opposing views and we've called it hate speech. And so when you don't have an opposing view, when you don't have what typically and historically has made this country so amazing, we don't have that sort of public exchange where people are able to say, I don't agree with you, but I 100% support your right to your opinion and your right to communicate that. We don't have that anymore. And so when that is silenced, then you have one thought. And right now, the one thought is that sexual deviance is on par with immutable characteristics like one's skin color. And so when you have that, when that is championed and when that is paraded out, who is going to stand up and speak out against it at the risk of being called a racist? I'll say I am, but generally speaking, who's willing to do that? And I think that's where we are. We started to lose this argument, you know, and I want to be careful the way I word it, not that we're looking in terms of wins and losses, but we started to lose this argument when we talk about gender distinctions and when you talk about marriage and you talk about sexuality, when it was the fight for quote-unquote equality in your sexual preference, right? When that became synonymous with a civil right, that's when we began to lose. And when people were silent on that, some of the champions of civil rights causes, when they were silent on that, that is when we began to lose in culture. And I think that's where we are now. But if I had to add a group to the list that you stated, Dave, I would say the Human Rights Campaign would be high on the list.
Yes, the usual suspects. Unfortunately, I agree with you 100% that somehow we went down this slippery slope of not being able to offend anyone. And
right.
The country is absolutely not the country that it used to be. I was born in 1960, and I've seen what I've seen. I talk to people who were born in the 20s and hear what they have to say. So yeah, it's slowly been eroding, and it is the usual suspects, these same groups, the same people, their same agenda. Who's going to win, Miki? You guys did something incredible. Over 1 million people responded almost instantaneously. And the company that was targeted, Target, basically said, who cares? What's going to happen here? Are we ever going to be able to regain any sanity in this country? I mean, without saying, well, I hope so, without relying on hope, realistically, are we going to?
I think we will, and I think that we are seeing that. I think this has been one of the most successful online campaigns that we have seen in the history of online campaigns, and you compare that even across the board, MoveOn.org and all of these other organizations that encourage you to sign petitions. This petition has blown those out of the water, and that's not because of anything that we have done. We just got the ball rolling. That's because of common sense Americans waking up every day and seeing how destructive this is. I think that as you see an aggressive agenda continue to reveal what it actually is, no longer feeling like it needs to cover by dark of night. And what do I mean? I mean presenting ideas and presenting arguments that are false arguments. There's no longer that compulsion to do that. Now, I think what you see is sort of the agenda being revealed as it truly is. We see this with President Obama and the Department of Education and the Department of Justice all working together to say parents don't have a right to protect their kids, even in school. Now we can have kids who identify as this gender have access to locker rooms and bathroom facilities in public school systems. And even going as far as to say those who are normal, that wouldn't be their word, but those who identify with their biological gender, if you're uncomfortable, you use a separate facility. That's where we are. I think the more Americans see that, the more people understand what's really at stake, and the more the lie is uncovered that what you said you wanted actually is not what you wanted, I think that Americans will push back. I think people feel the country slipping away from them. Now, what do I mean when I say that? I mean this great experiment, this great push towards not giving people rights, but agreeing that you have rights that come by way of being a person. People feel that slipping away. And I believe that the more that slips away, the more people will be empowered to speak out, the more people will be emboldened to not fear being called a racist or a bigot, but to stand for truth. And there are still moral absolutes that we can point to in this country. So in that, I do take hope, but I believe we can already see Americans pushing back.
What's the next step for the AFA and the boycott?
Well, we hope that people will continue to sign the pledge to boycott Target at afa.net/target. You can go there. You can also print out flyers that you can give to people to promote this call to stand up for what is right in culture. We hope that people will continue to sign. And then we look to go back to Target when we hit 2 million signers and say, what do you do with this? At some point, hopefully their eyes will be open and we can all move on. And that's where we're hoping to go.
I really believe, unfortunately, that if you had 10 million or 20 million signatures, they would still say the same thing. I don't think they care. The American Family Association is a 501c3. It's a registered charity with the Internal Revenue Service. And how do you get your funding?
Well, we have supporters who fund and believe in what we're doing and help us keep doing that. So it's the grandmother, it's the aunt, the uncle who sends us donations on a regular basis because they are tired of being pushed around. And so we've been given an incredible opportunity because of our longevity to be able to make a difference. And there are people who see that as worthwhile and support us. And for that, we are so thankful.
Miki Addison, Director of Communications at Urban Family Talk, a division of the American Family Association. Miki, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners. And keep going. I'm in your corner, and I'm sure millions of other people are, Americans and people around the world. So keep going and keep that target on target.
Thank you so much, Dave. It's been a pleasure to spend some time with you and your listeners. I appreciate it.